Some of you might recognize this book if you work in education. Grant's already mentioned the rhythm of the year and how we're re-entering that fall transition period from summer and from moving into an entirely different pace. And as we move through the rhythms of the school year, I thought of one of my favorite school startup picture books. It's right there, Mrs. Spitzer's Garden. So I pulled it off the shelf and I reread it, and I realized that there may be a lesson in it that connects with our scriptures this morning as well as with the Sunday school covenanting work that we're doing today. And I'm hopeful that it will help us as we set our faces towards the work that God has for us in the coming year. I love everything about this book. I love the beautiful illustrations, that slightly frazzled main character, Mrs. Spitzer. And there are also just deep thoughts in it, expressed in very clear and simple language. Each year, Mrs. Spitzer, a caring and thoughtful kindergarten teacher, takes time to consider her classroom, the physical space that she works in. She checks to make sure that she has all of the right tools for her work, and then she gets down to welcoming, receiving, planting, and tending the seeds that the principal brings to her. As the seeds begin to sprout, she takes careful note of each plant in her care. Okay, Trevor? She knows that different plants need different things, and that each plant has its own shape. Some of the plants grow quickly, pushing upward, eager, impatient. Some grow more slowly, unfolding themselves bit by bit. Some plants sprout thin and tall. Some are bushy and wide-spreading. Some are bold, showy. They are brightly colored, saying, "Look at me." Some are silvery and quiet, the color of the earth. A few are wildflowers and will grow anywhere you put them. And some need gentle care, a special watching over. But all of them belong in that classroom. Okay. I'm wondering if you'd agree with me that this book quite easily reflects the life of the church. I'm a little reluctant to put my glasses on because they're only for reading, and when I look out, you're all blurry. So I've got to make a decision between. So I am going to put them on, though. Here at Pioneer Park, we have a beautiful physical facility with many tools, resources, and strong leadership structures in place. And we're at once the seeds planted and growing and the caregivers of the seeds that have been given to us by God. But all of it really is about serving God's purpose in the world. As I thought of you this week, I was reminded and deeply impressed with the many beautiful ways that we're engaged in God's endeavors, both in the context of our congregational work and in the ways we move and work in the wider world when we leave this house of worship. I thought of those who, in a variety of ways in our congregation, serve as healers in their line of work, of those who teach, both here, in our homes, and in our schools, of those who are raising wee babies and young children so tenderly and strongly, of those who feed others, of those who bring consistently strong business ethics, building strong, respectful relationships in serving the needs of the community, of those who are careful stewards of finance for serving God and others, of those involved in prison ministry, of those who farm or carefully tend gardens, God's creation, of those who faithfully and quietly volunteer time and energy, both in this church and in the community, of those who are perhaps in a waiting space, wondering what the next step is. All of these gifts and more we bring together and we offer to God. Being formed and transformed by God means that we need to be open to being led by God, to finding ways both familiar and new and varied to advance God's intentions. And we know that the way is not always clear, nor the road smooth. But we do know that we can look to the Scriptures for direction and assurance that we are unified and moving in the right direction. And if we reflect on these passages that have been read this morning, I think we can take heart. There is no need to recreate the wheel. God's work and plan and purpose seems evident. And just like Mrs. Spitzer pays attention to those flowers and plants in her care, working diligently to help each of them grow into their full beauty, we are to pay attention to how we can join with what God is already doing and has been doing through all generations in our world. Both the Psalm and the Isaiah text testify to our God, whose purpose is to keep faith forever, to execute justice for the oppressed, to give food to the hungry, set the prisoners free, open the eyes of the blind, lift up those who are bowed down, love the righteous, watch over the strangers, and uphold the orphan and widow. And we don't need to be anxious or worry about how scoundrels seem to end up on the top of the pile, wreaking havoc left and right. They are not in control. God is. And we need to stay focused on the things of God. The Mark passage connects the psalm of praise and the prophetic voice of Isaiah directly to Jesus, who embodies and enacts the words. There he is doing it, and whose work is evidence of his perfect union with God. In Mark, we see Jesus quietly trying to do his work when he's interrupted by an outsider, a stranger, the Syrophoenician woman. I really admire her. And it's easy for me to imagine her desperation on behalf of her daughter, who is suffering so deeply. I like how she pushes back at Jesus, who seems to be rejecting her at first. And she claims her rightful place with him. And I'm reassured with how Jesus honors her faith and responds to her need. I'm encouraged, too, by the account of Jesus opening the ears of the deaf man and releasing his tongue to speak. Imagine the freedom and joy of that contact with Jesus. And if that's Jesus' work, and we are followers of Jesus, then I think our work needs to be similar to this. What is the work that we take up again following our summer hiatus? Do we wonder what our purpose is, where our focus should be, how the plants are doing, who or what needs our careful attention? Do we worry that we might not have the necessary gifts or abilities to do God's work well? Are we feeling anxious without a pastor to direct us in our work? Let's take heart and take courage. Like Mrs. Spitzer, let's open our eyes, our minds, and our hearts to the seeds that God is providing, to the care and work of God in the world. Let's continue to look to the example of Jesus, who is our path to God. And let's continue to rest assured that even in the most turbulent, trying, and tentative times, God is with us, hearing our hearts' prayers, attentive to our needs, and always, always leading us.